So, I've got here with me Ollie Simpson.
Howdy.
And you come from... I can't remember the name of the island.
I come from Guernsey. It's a small island off the coast of France, one of the Channel Islands. It's a British island.
In the US, it's kind of the equivalent of Puerto Rico to the US, right?
That's what I'm told. I don't know if that's...
Okay.
That's what I'm told.
Well, you've been here in Nalergu at the Babis Medical Center for 2 months, and so I figured I'd start by asking you what brought you here in the first place.
I'm a medical student, and as part of our course in the UK, we have to do an 8-week medical elective, which means we can spend 8 weeks doing a medical placement anywhere we want. So you could go to the hospital at the end of your road, or you can come somewhere like this, or you can go the other side of the world to this, even. You can go anywhere you want.
So how did you find out about the option to come here?
I didn't actually, one of my friends did. He was looking at an elective in Guatemala, and he stumbled across, I guess, one of the missions websites, and found a link to this hospital. And he knew that I'd been thinking about coming to Ghana, or at least one of the African countries. So he showed it to me, and then I took it from there and organised it through emails with first Dr. Crawley and then Dr. Hewitt later on.
You mentioned that this is part of, it's a required 8-week course. How does the 8 weeks you've spent here then affect like your future career in medicine and your learning process and all that?
An elective in general can affect your career in various ways. For me, it's affected my sort of decisions about my career, I think. Before I came here, I had sort of various ideas about what I was going to do with my career, and I think I've made some choices since I've been here. When I came, I knew that I was really interested in surgery, and I knew that was a strong possibility. I was fairly certain that I wanted to become a surgeon, and now I'm completely certain. Also, coming here it's shown me a different side to medicine, as you get very used to working in the UK, working within the National Health Service, and the structure of healthcare there. And because it's very different here, it's been quite refreshing to see sort of how medicine can work in other places. And it's made me think that I'll probably do some overseas work in the future, maybe in Africa, maybe somewhere else.
Yeah. What are some of the biggest differences that you've seen between medicine in the UK and how it's practiced and what you've seen and done here in Ghana?
There are big differences. I guess I'll start just by looking at the hospital. Having said that there's differences, there's also quite a lot of similarities as well. I'd say that the clinic here at the hospital is much busier than anything I'd ever see in the UK. And within the hospital, there seems to be less hierarchy, I guess, between the staff. Whereas in England, it's very, very, as a medical student, you're the lowest of the low. Whereas here, people kind of like you a bit more, which is quite nice. I suppose in the UK, we've got more drugs available. There's a lot more we can do. Like, surgery-wise, the hospital I'm at has over 1,000 beds. We've got, like, 18 operating theatres, loads of surgeons.
So, and by contrast, what do they have here?
They've got two operating theatres here, and one of them, it's only really one of them that's operational all of the time. And they're lacking in equipment as well here. The anaesthetic machine, for example, is... Well, I don't know quite what era it's from, but it's not from the last 20 years, put it that way.
In your 8 weeks here, is there any particular patient, situation, or case that you were involved in that really stands out?
There's loads. I have to write a report about my 8 weeks when I get back, and I've already been thinking about this.
You've been journaling daily, right?
Yeah. I've already know which patients that I'm probably going to talk about. Oh, I guess I'll start at the start. We saw a little girl. She was about 2 or 3 years old in my first week here, and she had a large mass on her upper lip. When I say large, it was probably about 12 centimetres by 12 centimetres.
Wow.
Hanging off her top lip. That was, it was a fairly awful thing for her to have, and I sort of saw every day, and then Dr. Fell was going to operate on it. I remember going into the doctor's office, getting out the plastic surgery book and having a look like how I thought he might do it. There was quite a few people here at the time, but I was lucky enough to be able to assist on the operation and see what he did and see the outcome. And he got the mass out and it closed up beautifully and it looked really good. And we were all really pleased. And then about 4 weeks later, we got the lab result back from America. They sent some of the tissue off to have it analysed, and it turns out that it was called a rhabdomyosarcoma, which is a form of cancer. It's a very aggressive form of cancer, and unfortunately, the mass has started growing back already. But so, one of those things where it happens, and everyone's really happy, and then you find out down the line that it's not so good. Now, that was a shame. There's another patient. Most of these patients are surgical, I'll add. There's another patient, a little boy, about five, who during the rains, his house had fallen down and the wall had fallen on him, and he'd ruptured his urethra, so he couldn't pass urine. Dr. Fowler did this operation to try and reconnect the two ends of the urethra. Again, it was a fairly long operation, but it was one of those things where we didn't really know what the right thing to do was, and we didn't have the equipment that a urologist in the States or the UK would have. So it was a bit of ingenuity to get the two ends of this urethra together. So that was a really good case as well, and it worked. The little boy is passing urine now, and so hopefully he's on the road to recovery somewhat. Oh, another patient which is interesting was a man. I was on call one night. This man came in with very bad headache, neck stiffness, a fever, and I thought he had meningitis. So we did a lumbar puncture on him, takes it to a spinal tap. And sure enough, he did have meningitis. So acting accordingly, we put him on IV antibiotics. And over the course of a couple of days, he started to get better. And then I think about the third day, he's just had a headache, his neck was still stiff, but he was getting a lot better. I went to see him, and his family told me that they wanted to take him away from the hospital. So I asked them why. And they said that he'd had some dreams. They thought that the illness he had been given to him by a witch from a local person from their village, because he'd had dreams about this old lady. He had to be taken from the hospital to a place close by called Gambaga, so the chief of Gambaga could take the witch's spirit out of his body, and then he'd be better. I understand that people believe in witchcraft and everything, but it just seemed... It was quite frustrating that we were giving him the drugs and it was working and we was getting better, and then all of a sudden he wanted to up and leave. I gave him the best medicines I could and sent him on his way. So I kind of, at that stage, I thought it's better to let him leave with something than having him get up and walk out of the hospital with nothing.
Well, you mentioned, you talked about a city called Gambaga and the witch colony there. You've been here 8 weeks and I know you've made lots of friends with several of the locals here in Ulergu and around. So what impressions are you leaving with of the Mamprusi culture? Mamprusi are the tribe or people group that are mostly located in this area. So what are you coming away from West Africa with from them?
They're very friendly people to begin with. You know, once you've met them, they're your friend.
Is there anything you'd take from their culture that you wish you could kind of ingrain into the people back home?
They're a lot more relaxed than people back home. I'd quite like to take that back. Most of the time, it's so relaxing. They don't seem as stressed. I've got a good taste in music. I like the reggae.
Very good.
So I'm taking a few CDs back with me.
Very good. Well, I want to close with just asking you, seeing as how, you know, someone told you about coming here, and that's what brought you here, for anyone listening that's considering coming out here looking for opportunities overseas, what would you say to someone... advice, encouragement, who's looking into the possibility of coming out here?
For me, I couldn't imagine a better elective. It's had everything that you should have in an elective, I think. It's been a good experience of a different culture. I've got to do loads in the hospital. I've been seeing patients in outpatients, been doing on-call work. I've been assisting Dr. Fell in theatre. I've learned so many skills. When I came here, I didn't even know how to suture properly. And now, you know, I can... clothes on major surgeries, I can excise lipomas, I can do loads of things that I couldn't do beforehand.
Yeah.
So it's a great learning environment for anyone who wants to come. The people are friendly, it's a comfortable place to live, and bizarre and interesting things happen practically daily. you end up stop being surprised by things, because you'll just see something and you'll be wow, but surprising things happen every day.
All right, well, hey, thanks for chatting with me. I've only been here a couple days with you, but it's been a pleasure getting to know you.
Thank you.
And I hope to hear more from you as your career goes on and and you become, you know, top surgeon in all of the UK or something like that. Who knows, right?
Never know.
Never know. All right, thanks a lot, Ollie.
All right.